Let's start off in Matthew chapter 7. And the main thing that we'll talk about today in this lesson is hear these words of mine. Because Jesus says this more than once in Matthew chapter 7 about hear these words of mine and the meaning of that. But let's start at Matthew chapter 7 in verse 1. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and turn you to pieces." First off, it begins, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Interesting thing about that is that the times I don't like to be judged are the times when I'm in the wrong. When I'm just wrong and I'm not right, then don't judge me. Don't you judge me. Don't you treat me that way. Don't you judge me for that way. But you know what? When I'm doing what's right, judge me all day. Please judge me. Please judge me on that. What, you're righteous? You're right? You're doing well? Please judge me all day long for that. But you can't have it both ways. It can be both ways. You can't have it where you are, don't want to be judged when you're wrong, but then when you're right, you want to be judged. But it talks about, I think it's John chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. It says, "As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day." See, Jesus said that he did not come to judge the world but to save it. And that it's very hard to be judgmental and compassionate at the same time. That you're either going to end up being one or the other. You're going to end up leaning towards being more judgmental or being compassionate. And the problem with the judging is what happens in chapter 7 in verse 3 through 5, where you are so busy looking at the speck in somebody else's eye that you end up missing out and ignoring the plank in your own eye. That's what happens when being so busy judging. Instead, why don't you pray for the speck in somebody else's eye and really focus on a plank that is in your eye? That's what matters. And Jesus was saying that he was calling them hypocrites because a different standard was being used. The standard for others were this high, but then your standard is this low. What really makes that standard really off is that, and the same thing happens to all of us. I know it happens to me. Sometimes I wake up and my standards are extremely high. That I'm high, that I need to be extremely righteous. I need to be this, I need to be that, I need to be this, that, all these different things. And in other days, my standards are really low. In that all I want to do is just survive that day. And if I survive and make it to the end of the day, then victory is there. No matter how much sin is committed, whatever, my standard is that low. But truly our standard needs to be the Word of God. Because that standard stays the same. It's that way all the time. Now, I look at this scripture and it talks about judging. Really, there's a difference between judging and being judgmental and having discernment. And I know that Jesus calls for us and challenges us to have discernment. To really have discernment and to think about things and think about where you're going, who you're going with, who you're being influenced by, is something right, is something righteous or unrighteous, to have that discernment. That comes from the Holy Spirit. And it calls for us to have that. And that's what we should have. We should have discernment versus walking around and being judgmental. Like I said, because Jesus in John 12:47 said he didn't even come to judge the world. Other than his job would have been easy. He would have judged us, said, all of you going to hell if you don't repent, and then he could go back up to heaven. Job is done. But Jesus said he came to save the world. So therefore, we should have that same perspective and want to reach out and to help save others versus spending time being judgmental. Think about it is that discernment protects us, whereas judgment attacks others. So to be very careful in which one you're going to be. Is it going to be one that's going to protect you, which is what the Holy Spirit wants to do, or is it going to try to tear down others? Other part of this is Jesus then talks about giving dogs what is sacred, throwing your pearls to pigs, which is a very challenging scripture. And I had to look at do some other reading getting that. And the thing is that we should be careful about giving ammunition to those who enjoy just denouncing the truth. And we have been having conversations with people, and they just want to tear down the scriptures. And they just want to turn to an argument and a fight and get you to where you're revved up and where you're unrighteous. To be careful in doing that. Jesus was very careful in doing that, so therefore he challenged us to do that very same thing. Another thought is guarding, just making sure we guard ourselves, you know, from the things and the things that we teach from being trampled underfoot. And it's the same thing, it's just getting into those type of arguments and battles just for the sake of getting arguments and battles to where you're unrighteous when it's all said and done. To be careful in doing that. That we know that was very prevalent back then when Jesus was preaching this, but it still happens today. Is that there's some religious people that want to fight you on things? There's some that may be atheists or agnostic or whatever it is, or just flat don't know, don't believe, don't understand, whatever. They really want to challenge you on what you're doing. To be very careful that you don't end up where you end up losing faith when it's all said and done. To be very careful in doing that. Just using wisdom and the Holy Spirit and using it to guide us. So now we look at the next part in Matthew 7, in verse 7. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. God takes care of our wants, and God takes care of our needs. And God is a great provider. Great provider, and he will take care of things. Now, we shouldn't cross over and look at this scripture and think, okay, good, I'll just keep asking for things. I ask for things, I'll get it. I ask for things, and I'll get it. This is so convenient. This is a great relationship. We can't be spoiled brats. Can't be selfish kids, just asking God for everything, and we just end up getting it all. At the same time, we can't be independent of God and think, well, instead of me asking God for it, or I will ask God for it, but I'm going to make it happen on my own. That I can't wait for God to decide when he's ready to say yes. I need to make that yes happen on my own. We can't go over to that side either. That's why it really calls for us to ask. And it will be given to us. But really I think about is just within the spirit to pray for the things and pray for the things that the Holy Spirit is calling for us to ask for, and God will grant those things. Those things that we need spiritually, it will be given to us. Because when it's all said and done, the ultimate goal is that God wants to see us in heaven one day where he's able to tell us, good and faithful servant, well done, and he's able to take us in. That means sometimes he'll remove things from us to get us to that point. Sometimes he'll shake us up and take away some of our things that we feel like we need to get us to the point where we bow down and say, God, we need you. We need you to be with us. But that's God's ultimate goal, is to get us there. And whatever God has to do to get us there, then that's what has to happen. And that's what I have to reflect on when challenging times come. Because the thing I want to do is start to question God and, God, why is this happening? What is going on? Why is this? I thought you said you would take care of my needs. God did say, yes, I'll take care of your needs. Absolutely true. But the ultimate need is for you to get to heaven. There are things you need to learn. There are ways you need to grow. There's ways I'm trying to take your character from here to there for you to be able to be sustained and make it to the end. That's the ultimate goal. And so that's really an encouragement is for us to pray about those things and to pray about the Spirit and just really pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us in our prayers on exactly what we need. Another profound thing that Jesus says at the end in verse 12 is, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. To do unto others as you have them do to you. We heard that since little children. Heard that. But maybe start thinking about something. In John 13, 34, 35, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How do I truly want to be loved? I truly want to be loved like Jesus loves me. That when I'm at my worst, he died on a cross for me. When I was rejecting God, God still worked with me to get him to the point where I was able to accept him. That's the kind of love that I want. That's the kind of love that I desire. Well, if that's what I want and that's what I desire, then I have to love that very same way. That I have to love as Jesus loved, which is challenging and convicting. Because there's times when circumstances become greater than focusing on that. Even this morning, trying to get ready, knew I had a lot of things to do. Like, you know what? I got to make it happen. I got to do this. I got to do that. And it wasn't about, you know, the way I have to say, we got to get here on time. Most important thing. So my wife, being the great wife that she is, said, you know what? That's great you were getting ready on time, but you weren't loving as you were doing things. So when we think about this scripture and think, well, there goes John 13, 34, 35 once again. Is loving the way Jesus loved. That even in the middle of just, it's a great thing to get there on time, very important thing. But do I sacrifice love? Do I sacrifice giving? Do I sacrifice being gracious for the sake of being on time? No. That's where it comes, is to loving people the way that Jesus loved, or loving people the way I want to be loved. So, and I know all of us want to be loved the way Jesus loves us. You could deny it and say that you don't want it, but we all want the type of unconditional love. Therefore, we have to give out that very same thing. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, it takes on a shift where it really starts to talk about heaven. And also talk about hell, too. And it's like Jesus is wrapping up the whole Sermon on the Mount by going here. And it starts in verse 13. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. First is that the world thinks that it's the opposite. That wide is that road and broad is the gate. It's just wide open to get to heaven. And narrow is that road. Narrow is the gate that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. That gate is served for serial killers. It's saved for the axe murderers. It's saved for the molesters. It's saved for the worst of the worst. That small people, those are the ones that make it to hell. But everybody else, they make it in. But Jesus said the opposite. Jesus says to enter through that narrow gate. And he said, because many will enter through the gate that leads to destruction. As small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. The thing about it is that, why is that? Well, the big part of it is that we want to do things the way that we want to do it. And the Bible contradicts so many things that we want to do. So, can it be easy for us just to go ahead and live our lives and do whatever we want to do? That's the easier way to get to it and somehow still make it to heaven. Perfect. That's what I want to do. But that's not what Jesus is calling for us to do. And we're going to read on more about what Jesus talks about and what we have to do to make it. But living a life of the disciple is fantastic. It is great. Because it talks about in John 10:10, where Jesus said that he came so that we could have life and have it to the full. But that fullness of life means that we have to have a road of suffering and a road of self-denial in order to make it. And it is the opposite effect. That you think you have life and have it to the full means I could do whatever I want to do. I could live the way I want to live. I could do what I please. As long as it's not hurting anybody or it's not quote-unquote hurting anybody, as long as it's not affecting anybody, I could just live my life and do whatever I want to do. And you know what? That's okay. But like I said, though, is that the road of suffering and self-denial is that road to having a full life. And that's what Jesus is calling for us to have. Look more in verse 15. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Very challenging section. Right, we'll talk about the first part about false prophets. And it says a false prophet that you will recognize them by their fruit. You will get found out. Thing about it is that talk to many people and they talk about Christianity and how much they don't like church, and they don't know how much they don't like Christianity. And the number one reason they talk about, they don't necessarily talk about how upset they are with God or how Jesus didn't die on the cross or anything. The main thing they talk about is hypocrisy. That it's a bunch of hypocrites. Well, hypocritical. What's hypocrisy? It's saying one thing, but then doing another. Saying one thing about your life and living your life, but then living a totally other different way. Jesus talks about in the scripture about us watching out for false prophets. And we have to be careful of that. Be careful of the messages that we receive. Whether we receive them from someone coming to me being religious or someone giving me a message that's coming to say, hey, this is the right way. This is the way the world thinks, so therefore, this is the way you need to think. Be careful the message we receive, whether we receive it on the radio, receive it on television, no matter in books, no matter where we receive it, be careful the message that we receive. And to be careful of the false prophets. At the same time, we have to make sure that we're not false prophets. That when people are talking about the hypocrisy, that we're not thrown into that same bucket too. About living one way, but doing another. And about being one way, and about being another. Because Jesus says that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And it says that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. We don't want that to be us at all. But Jesus says that every bad tree, this is what will happen to it. It will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So therefore, we have to strive with everything we got to be that good fruit, that good tree that bears a good fruit. And that part is challenging because then Jesus comes along, and that's when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's scary. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will make it in. But I thought that's what happens. You pray this into your heart, and then you're saved. I said, Lord, Lord, at that time. That's it. I'm done. Not going to go and live my life whatever way I want to live my life. It says, no, only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's it. That's who's going to make it and to do that will. The challenging part of that is like I said, is doing the will of Father. And we're going to look a little bit further into that as we go more in Matthew 7. But it says that many will say to me on that day, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles? That sometimes we could believe, and honestly, when I was growing up, I was hoping it would be that way. That I'll be able to just show my good deeds that I've done and be able to prove those to God and say, see, God, I follow you. There it is. So let me into heaven. And so many times we'll think about that. But you know what? I have seen where there have been people that knew someone and bought them to church, and they studied the Bible, and that person became a disciple, but the person that originally came along did not become a disciple. So by their good works, does that mean that they now make it in? No. It says that only he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, that's the one that will make it in. So we can't look at all the great miraculous works that are being done. And so sometimes God will do things and God will work with us in spite of us, which is fantastic, which is great, but don't believe that because God worked through me, because God made this happen, therefore I must make it in. Not necessarily the case. The same way looking at the miraculous signs and the miracles that are done. Satan does a lot of miracles to keep on deceiving us and to deceive those around us. So if you do those miracles and Satan is deceiving us, does that make you go in? No, it doesn't. It talks about he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And the scary part of it is that Jesus says, tell us plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That you, he never knew us. Very challenging. It's a fight and a battle to make it in. Have to fight with everything to make it into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. And by doing that, that we want to also help others to do that very same thing. Help them to be able to make it in. But you have to examine your life and think, is your life helping to bring people to Jesus or turn them away from Jesus? Because if hypocrisy is there and it's just a shell in the front as you go to church, but then your life is a double life, living a whole other different way, then that's turning people away from Jesus instead of bringing them towards Jesus. Your life, what's going on and what's happening? Where is it leading people? Where is it leading you? That's the part that has to be examined. Let's look at verse 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Jesus says that Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, like a man is a wise man who built his house on a rock. First, you say that you must hear these words of mine, that you must hear God's word, that you must know God's word, you must study God's word and continually study God's word. It means if you're at the beginning and you're studying the Bible, to really get into God's word to understand what God is calling you to do. If you're a young disciple, to continue to get in God's word so that you could grow and mature. For all of us old timers, to stay in the word of God. To fight every day and stay in the word of God and keep on hearing these words of mine that comes from Jesus. It says, then put them into practice. Take it one step further to really hear these words and then go out and put those things into practice. Because if you do not put it into practice, then you have no foundation. The foundation is the rock. The rock is Jesus, the relationship with God. That's the foundation. If it doesn't continually get built and get solid, then that foundation gets weak. And then when the storms of life come, whether it's health, whether it's death, whether it's family troubles, financial troubles, no matter what it is, you won't have the foundation. It'll get knocked down. But if you do have that foundation, you will make it. You will make it to the end. But it takes hearing these words of mine and putting them into practice. That's where the foundation comes from. And you have to continually build on that foundation so that it doesn't get weak. And that way, when the rain comes and the crashes come, everything, you will stay solid. And that's what Jesus is calling for us to do, and to really put them into practice. Because the scary part is that many have started with a solid foundation and can start really, really solid, but then get weak over time because are not continually building on that foundation. And we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be there. And I think about a brother back in Tallahassee that really helped me to get my life together and challenged me, really convicted me at a Taco Bell. And I hate Taco Bell. I didn't want to go to Taco Bell. But you know what? That Taco Bell experience over that cheap chicken burrito, it saved my life. It saved my life. That was the best $2 I ever spent. And a burrito for $2, that's scary. But that was the best $2 I ever spent because it helped save my life. But you know what? It wasn't long after that this ministry leader of the campus ministry, that he fell away and went back into the world. Thank God for the way God used him to save me. And I pray that over time that he's still alive and he's able to make his way back. I really pray that he does, that he did make his way back. But that's what happened. But there was some point that he was very strong. The words he said to me were very strong and very convicting. But at some point that Jesus' words, it started fading in his heart. We don't want to be in that same place where we start out strong, where we have this solid foundation, and then it just gets weakened. Because life comes. Life happens. That's life. And if the expectation of discipleship is that all problems and all troubles will go away, then that's just not true. And initially, that's what I thought, that I become a Christian, all my problems go away. Hakuna Matata. That means no worries. For all that listen to Lion King, that's what I thought. All my problems and all my troubles go away. That I would just live life where everything would be easy and smooth and easygoing and no problems. It just all flows that way. And through Jesus, that Jesus called for us to take them and he will take on our burdens. And amen, I'm grateful for that. But you know what? Life comes. And if that foundation isn't there and the words of Jesus are not being put into the heart and not being put into practice, then you will not be ready when those times come. And we all want to make it to the end. That is the point, is that I want to make it to the end. I want to see God's face. I want him to be able to tell me, good and faithful servant, well done. That's where I want to be. But you know, in putting everything in summary, is that, in looking at everything, that Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount is just not a pie in the sky, great theology, great ideology, something great for us to attain to. Because many times we could think that the things that Jesus is talking about in these scriptures are something that it's just wonderful to attain to, but there's no way any of us will ever get there. Jesus is calling for us to do these things and calling for us to take heed of it. But there is a warning that comes with it, though, in Mark chapter 7 and in verse 6. In Mark 7 and verse 6, Jesus says, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. This scripture actually comes from Isaiah 29:13, and in my Bible had a section, and it kind of went back, and it went into the thought process at that time, and it says, the rules outlined by Moses in Leviticus, rules about what to sacrifice and when, how to honor the Sabbath, what not to eat, and so on. Though these rules were given by God and had a purpose, the people missed the point entirely. They were only going through the motions, and that wasn't enough. That's where Jesus was coming from in this, going through the motions. Thing that to be careful about in hearing Jesus' words and put them into practice is that we're just not going through the motions. Because it's right to go to church on Sunday, we're at church. Because it's a good thing, it's really a good thing to be there on Thursday night, because that makes you a super disciple, I will be there on Thursday night. Because it's good for me to study my Bible every day, I will read my Bible. Because it's good for me to pray, I will pray. And because it's good for me to share my faith, I'll share my faith. Because for me to do this, I do this. And just kind of go through those things, just go through the motions. That's because it's good for me to do these things, this is what I will do. To really go through these through the motions on things, to make sure that we have our heart engaged. That's what Jesus was talking about right here, where he said that you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Don't pay God lip service. Don't just try to honor him just by doing things, but to truly have your heart in it. And really have your heart in it as to why you have your heart in it. The why is because God loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus died on the cross. I'm doing this in response to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. I love Jesus. I want to give all my everything. Not only that, but that Jesus is enough for me. That I don't have to go to Jesus because I want to get married. Or I have to go to Jesus because I want a better life. Or I have to go to Jesus because I want my marriage to be different. Those are great places to start, but truly when it's all said and done, going to Jesus because Jesus is enough. And to have that heart. Because if that heart isn't there, then when the times of testing come, you will fade, won't make it. I remember being in the beginning and studying the Bible and being fearful about sin because I knew that sin will send me to hell. But I knew I could not be motivated my entire life to not go to hell. Because there are times where I'm just not going to care about that. That my heart's going to be in a dark place and I'm not going to care about that. But think about us in our marriage and those who really stay devoted in marriage. In our marriages, we go through some dark times. But we fight through those dark times in our marriage because we truly love who we're with. We're in love with them. We want to fight because we want to be together forever. That's the same thing with our relationship with God. That it has to be that way. That the heart has to be there to make it to the very end. So in being there, we have to make sure that we are hearing Jesus' words, but then also put them into practice and having our heart fully engaged and put them into practice. That is a call for us. That's a call for us in what we have to do. And to make sure we have the why behind it and make sure our why is always there in the right place too. Because that why sustains us. That why helps us to make it to the end. That why helps us to have our foundation and have to have us with that rock. That rock that will be solid and that will help us make it all the way to the end. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's what Jesus was really convicting them at that time to help them to follow him. But you know what? That applies so much more to us today. And still applies to us today. To remember to hear these words of mine, to put them into practice, and to have our hearts engaged so that we can make it truly into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. Really appreciate everybody being here and being attentive and putting our hearts. I pray so much that this will be something that we'll study out and that we really would engage ourselves so that we can help each other make it to the end, because that's what Jesus wants us to do.